at least four places now. We've met across the street, we've met down here now, we've met upstairs, and we've met on the Facebook Live and the radio, or 98.3. It's just kind of strange. You know, the big churches like to say they have, you know, one church and three locations. Well, we can kind of say one church and four locations. We never know if it's going to be virtual or if it's going to be here, if it's going to be somewhere else. But I'm just glad to be here, and it's so good to see your faces. And we've agonized on how to meet and where to meet. And I just want you to know that to get a stage and to get the sound system and the chair set up didn't happen. I mean, without people working, and they were up here making these. And I just love our church because it's kind of like a do what you need to do to worship. And so this morning we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and it really is appropriate for the time we live in. Let me read it, and then we'll kind of dive into Christian Living 101. If you're a Christian, listen. Try to apply. If you're not a Christian, I still want you to listen, but I don't know if it's going to do you much good. So let's look beginning in verse 15. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I absolutely love this passage, and it's so appropriate to us as believers, and especially to us as the church. And what we're going to talk about is something we all have in common. Do you know that you have this in common with the Pope, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, is that how you say it? The Facebook guru, Jeff Bezos, the guy that does Amazon, Tom Brady, the quarterback that now is going south, Michael Jordan, the president, the worker at Bob's. The one thing we all have in common is we all have a 24-hour day. We all have 7 days a week. We all have a month calendar to go by. Just because you have money, just because you don't have money, we're all on the same playing field. And so it's important for us to understand and try to think about how we spend our time. I think especially during this, I don't know if it's summer, I have trouble knowing what month it is ever since the kids have been out of school, my wife's been home. I'm having trouble with the day of the week. It's just kind of crazy, but one of the things we need to be concerned about is how we spend our time. And you know, if I was to ask you, how did you spend your time yesterday? What would you say? Do you even know? We were up here. We went to a Grayside yesterday. We watched a movie last night. I worked on my sermon. I mean, do you even know what you did yesterday? Do you know what you did last week? I hope so, because we've got to understand we have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for an entire month. And if you're a believer, you're under obligation to live your life a certain way. And that's what I want us to look at, how we manage our lives. Peter Drucker, who is a business guru, said this: "Until we can manage time, we can manage nothing else." There's some truth in that. So what is it we need to look at from these three verses? There's 3 points, and the first one is so incredibly important. Watch your step. It says in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk." The Greek uses the word walk, and it's a way to say your life. Because where you walk is where you live your life. He says, "Be careful then how you walk, And then he says this, not as unwise, but wise. Now, Paul is given instructions to believers. This is what we are commanded to do. We are to be careful how we live our life, how we walk. The word careful carries the idea of looking, examining, investigating something with great care. So in other words, when Paul says look carefully at how you're living, he's saying you need to every once in a while look inward and look how you're spending your time, look what you're doing with your day. Every single one of us are called to examine how we live our lives. Now, the problem is, I don't think we do that very often. When was the last time you evaluated your life? How you spent your time? Do you even know how you have spent your time? And are you living your life in a way that lines up with Scripture? My fear is, and the reason I say it's a fear, because I'm human and I know the same struggle you do. Most of us just live life. We set our alarm, we get up, we go to work, we eat our meals, and we just live. Now, you may be more disciplined and you may have a plan every day, but when was the last time that you just sat down and evaluated how you're spending your time, how you're living your life? When was the last time you said, okay, Lord, point out what needs to change? Because to be careful how you walk means you evaluate how you're walking. And as Christians, so many times we don't do that. Everyone has 24 hours a day. How are you living? You have 7 days in a week. You have a month. How are you spending your time? And my fear is, even during this time of I don't know, I call it redo, reset. Even during this time of reset, we just reset. A lot of times without any purpose or any goals, we get up and we live the day, and we run out of things to do and get tired. We go to bed and we go, well, I lived. Did we? You know, some things you can do. How did you spend your time? How did you spend your time with God this week? How many times did you meet Him in your Bible and read and pray and talk to Him? I mean, that's a question only you can answer. I can only answer that. But how did you spend your time with Him? What about your spouse? I mean, you're home 24/7 if you're married. Work comes in there. How did you spend your time? You know, we decided to go out, I think it was Thursday night, to dine out. We went down to Larry's place, and you know, it was just nice. I have missed eating out. And I ordered everything that Larry would have to cook and agonize over, like onion rings. They make the best onion rings out there, and I know Larry hates to make them. So I ordered shrimp grilled, tried to be a little healthy. But then I had a big old plate of onion rings. But Julie and I, just the two of us. Man, and it's so nice to be able to sit out there and not have to bring it back to the house and not have to clean it. I'm telling you, I miss dining out. And I plan to dine out again and again and again. But it was something we did together for fun. Oh, we watched a movie last night. You know, she came home and said, we haven't done that in for ages, you know. Sometimes we sit on the porch. This week we do a lot of porch sitting. And it's just, how are you spending your time with your spouse or your friends? What are you doing with your friends? It's a little bit more difficult in this day of social isolation with your friends. What about your family? What did you do as a family since you have had a redo this year? Have you eaten at home more together as a family? Did you read to your kids? Did you play a game with your family? What are you doing with your family? It's something that's important. What about your work? How did you spend your time at work? Now, let me just say this about work. Your job is your mission field. Okay? A lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, no, I have a job to earn money. If you have a job to earn money, then you're not necessarily just got a biblical view of work. Your work is to glorify God, to point people to God. Your job, whatever job you may have, is a gift from God, and it ought to be used as a mission field. You want to try to point people. You say, I can't point people to Christ on my job. Oh, you can. I've heard that for years, you know. Teachers can't reach kids. That's not true. Just not true. Your job is your mission field. And how did you spend your time at your work this week? Was it for yourself to earn money, or was it to glorify God? What about church? You know, it's a little bit easier when you meet. It's kind of hard when you're just always on Facebook or something like that. But, you know, hopefully we're slowly moving towards being the church. And y'all have done an incredible job of being the church in your giving. And anytime we decided, you got to understand, I try to figure things out as quick as I can, but not too far in advance, because you don't know. And so, like, I think last week on Wednesday, we decided to meet on the hill. Now, that's great for everybody except the people who have to get ready. And they didn't stone me, and we put it together, and we learned some things. Well, when I've been watching the weather forecast, well, we got to meet in the gym. Well, we have a stage with carpet on it. We have sound system. We have chairs spaced properly. You know, we used our time to try to do and be ready for church. And next week, Lord willing, the way it looks, we're going to be back outside on the hill. We really like that. And that means we have to get everything going back over there. And let me just say this. It's okay to wear shorts to church next week. T-shirt. I probably won't, just so y'all can watch me suffer, but no sense for you to suffer. But hey, if you want to bring, I started to call it tailgating for Jesus. You know, we'll be out there, and if you want to bring your little tent, have an ice chest, as long as it's COVID, Dr. Pepper, nothing alcoholic. Sit out there and have your little lawn chair, your little area. Hey, listen, we can sit a large number of people on that hill. And make it fun. I mean, my goodness, worshiping Jesus ought to be fun anyway. But you know, your church life. You know, how are you spending your time? And I'm appreciative that you're here today, and that's encouraging to me. Psalm 39:4 says this: Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. How fleeting my life is. The reason you need to use introspection in your life is because it's short. And I'm getting at the upper end. You know, I'm almost to the fourth quarter, maybe, depending on what someone says. And so, how am I going to spend my time? I read this week, I think it was Sweden or Switzerland, the top five regrets of dying people. Very interesting article. Number one is the regret that they wish they had the courage to live a true life to myself, not the life others expected of me. In other words, they did what God felt they were supposed to do, not what someone thought they were supposed to do. The second regret, and I love this one, I wished I hadn't worked so much. And they went on to talk about how they missed so much of their kids' life by working. And I know you have to have a job, and I'm not saying you shouldn't work, but you know, you don't want to get to the end of your life and go, I spent more time away from my kids than I did with my kids. I mean, it's a use your time wisely. Third thing, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. You know, don't wait to you're on your deathbed to tell your kids or your wife that you love them. You know, express your feelings. God gives you this opportunity. Fourth thing, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And then the fifth thing was, I wish that I had let myself be happier. You know, we live in a time where people just waste their lives. And they're doing good things, but it may not be good for them. Now, he says in the last part of that verse, and don't miss this, not as unwise, but as wise. To be unwise, here's the definition. The biblical definition of unwise means living as if God does not exist. That's what it means to be foolish. To live an unwise life means to live your life as God, as if God didn't exist. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now think about this. Does God have anything to do with your time, your schedule? Or do you just make up what you're going to do every day? Do you even consult Him to find out what it is that He wants you to do? You know, I think so often what we do is we absolutely plan what we want God to bless instead of asking Him what plan He wants to bless. We just live our lives. We just live our lives. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. In other words, ask God what His plan is for your family, for your life. Don't just live it or ask Him to bless your plan. It makes me so sad to see people do that. You know, I started thinking, what is my biggest regret? I'm 61. What is my biggest regret if I was drawing my last breath? My biggest regret is that I didn't spend enough time with my kids. I thought back, and y'all, I didn't have any hobbies. All I did was be a pastor and a dad and a husband. I didn't have other stuff, and I still don't feel like I spend enough time with my kids. I regret that more than anything. But I tried to do right. Like, for instance, if I would have been doing your kid's wedding on a Friday night when my kids were in high school, I would not come to the rehearsal dinner. You know why? My kids play football. You don't get redos on missing all those games. And so I never went to rehearsal dinners during football seasons or when our kids... You say, well, how do you do that? Well, I just told them I couldn't do it. I didn't want to ever regret missing an important thing in my kid's life or an injury. Be sure that... But you know what I'm trying to do now? Anytime my son calls and says, Liam needs help, I'm there. I'll drive to... Where is that little town? Ward, Arkansas. Anytime. Why? Because Liam Ashburn is there. And he's going to know his grandfather. I'll tell you what, any one of my kids call, I'm going to be there. They're grown and they're adults. But why? Because that's my one regret. More time with my kids. They might not want that. And let me just say one other thing. You may be retired. What's your step? The biggest mistake I see made in the church is retired people think they retire from the church. It's not biblical. Listen, my goal has always been as a pastor to get to a point sometime where I could retire to work for free, doing what I do. Why? Why would I want to do nothing? Why would I not want to serve God? I can't think of anything better in retirement than to serve God. So what's your step? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Seize the day. In verse 16, he says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I like the way theologian Charles Hodge translated this phrase. He says, rescuing opportunities from waste or abuse. Are you rescuing opportunities from waste or abuse? You see, God has given us the day, and He expects us to make the best use of our time now. And it's important that we understand that we should be very careful, even during this virus. I'm going to talk about the virus a little bit, my thoughts on it. May 17th, 2020 is a great time to take advantage of this virus time. I have struggled during this time because, you know, while I see doing all these other things, I struggle because I know for some people, this may be the only time they have to either get their life right or know Christ. I mean, time
is unpredictable and short. And I have struggled, okay, what can we do to reach people during this virus? I mean, it's serious to me. And so here's kind of some things I came up with that I think are so very, very important. First of all, we have to pray and ask God to show us how to seize the time. What is it we can do during this time with children and students and adults? What are ways that we can reach people? I think some people much rather come to the hill than they would to a building. I don't know about that. Invite your friends. Tell them, hey, come, bring your tent. But how are we going to use this time? How are we using it with teenagers? At Easter, we had the Easter egg hunt, but you know what we did? We delivered the eggs to them. And it seemed to be a pretty good deal. Right now, I'm trying to figure out, I kind of think, and if you're a man or an older teenager, I want to have a men's Bible study and maybe have it outside around a fire. You know, try to do social distancing. But a time where we can get together as men, and it may be on the hill, maybe somewhere else, but how can we study God's Word and talk about what's going on in our life? And if you're a man and you'd like to do that, maybe text me and say, hey, this week, I don't want to take away from family time, and I don't want to take away from anything of importance that you have, but I just kind of need to connect with men as well. I mean, I've been around Julie 24/7. My male, I have one dog that's a man. But we've got to find ways to do that. Maybe we can have a men's camp out. I don't know. That doesn't sound good, so I don't want to camp out. But, go fishing or something. I don't know. But what can we do during this time? Surely we don't play dead and say, oh, I mean, the virus, it may be a different virus that gets you. So you got to understand, you got to be careful. Right now, I still haven't given up on the children. What we're going to do, we may try something for older children where they can get, because the goal is to get groups smaller and have more adults. And, that's something I've run by, a modified VBS for older kids where it's very intentional about sharing the gospel. You know, one of the things we could do, I thought about, I wish we would have a get healthy group, because the number one thing we can do to not get the virus is to be healthy. Now, y'all are all healthy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that no one here is unhealthy. But I'm saying, we should be exercising. We should be eating correctly. We should be getting our weight under control, our blood pressure. I'm trying to do it myself. And what can we do as a church to make a difference? I love that we talked about the agape garden, but now's not the time because we need someone to help us do that. But maybe next year, that's what someone is called to do across the street, the garden for our community. I'll tell you one thing we're dreaming about, and it's free to dream. Please don't send me, man, we're not going to build another building. No, I don't want to build another building, but we've been kind of talking about, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a outdoor, what is it called, Greg?
Pavilion.
That had a fireplace in it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Do what?
Yes.
Yes. And the next time the new virus comes in, because I feel like there probably will be one in there, they'll be saying, stay home, don't get in the building. We'll just say, okay, we'll just go across the street. I don't know. Now, we have to pay for it, and we're not going to take a loan for something like that, but it's free to dream, right? That's seizing the day, in my opinion. But the thing I want us to see is right now is the time to take advantage of what God has given us, whether it's with children and youth, and we've been talking, Brent and I, maybe how we can get the youth outside and have a hamburger cookout, and everybody can socially be safe. I'm so tired of social distancing terminology. But anyway, we've got to look for the opportunities. Because guess what? Here's what I figured out. Every day we're doing this social isolating and not seeing anybody, I get older. My poor mama, she's been in there for 2 months. And I started thinking, after a while, she needs to see her kids.
You know? I'm telling you. I'm just telling what I think with me. I would probably take a chance of dying to be around my kids and my grandkids rather than staying in an assisted living or a nursing home where I die isolated with people that I kind of love or know. I'm just thinking outside the box, okay? Don't send me notes, but how can we take advantage of this time? Listen to what Galatians 6:10 says. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Listen, we're living in a time where we've got to continually find ways to reach our community. And whether it's meeting outside, having Bible studies outside, I don't know. But let me tell you, the clock is ticking for some people. And they're one step closer to eternity, either with Christ or without Christ. So we've got to use our time wisely. Now, let me just say this. If you have health issues and you're a member of this church that could jeopardize you, I do not expect you to do any of this. Like, if you have some under... Listen, we love our people. But here's what you can do. Someone did this last week. A senior in our church, she sent me a letter encouraging me, thanking me for trying to reach people with the gospel using... She's using Facebook Live now. She sent me the sweetest card. And I thought, what if we got those who maybe are at home who can't get on the front line and take a chance? What if they make phone calls to everybody encouraging? What if they send letters to people encouraging them? And then we have people on the front line who say, hey, I'm ready. I feel pretty healthy right now. Let's do something. And just try to take advantage. And the reason is listed in that verse. Why? Because the days are evil. Why do we try to take advantage of the opportunity? Because it's tough times right now. Days are evil. And we need to remember that. And then here's the last thing. Discover the Lord's will. Man, you've been given some of you, not everybody... You've been given more time by yourself than you probably have wanted because of all this. The question I have you figured out what God wants you to do with your life? It says in verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, means live without God, think without God, but understand what the Lord's will is. It is foolish to live your life without knowing what God's plan for your life is. And God has a plan for every single one of us. We need to reflect. We need to think. Are we involving Christ in what we do? Or are we leaving Him out? But we are told here, we need to understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will for your life? Hopefully during this time, if you didn't know it, you figured it out. Well, how do you understand the Lord's will? Let me tell you how you find the Lord's will. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So here's how you find God's will. You don't read a book. Well, you read the Bible, but you don't read a book. There's not a 1, 2, 3, 4 step. But here's what you do according to those two verses. Number one, you surrender your whole life. Your body. He says your body is to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. A holy sacrifice. What does the word holy mean? It means set apart. In other words, when you accept Christ, you're supposed to set apart your life to live for Him. Did you know that? It's not just go to heaven. It's live for Him.
And so it all begins with surrender. It's if you really want to worship the Lord, you surrender your whole being. That's the first step. And you will never find God's will for your life if you don't surrender to Him. It will be elusive. Second thing, don't follow the world. Listen, the worst thing you can do is look to the world for how to live your life. You want to mess up your life, you do what the world tells you to do. You know, Haley, you're going off to college. Let me just tell you this. Everybody's going to tell you how to live your life apart from probably what you know you should do. They're going to say, it's okay. They'll quote a doctor. They'll quote this person, that person. There's going to be all kinds of people telling you how to follow the Lord. Trust me. Most of it's from the world. If you want to know God's will, you got to say, well, I'm not going to trust the world because the world's where you get messed up. So don't follow the world. Third thing, allow God to change the way you think. The way you find God's will is to think the way God thinks, to change the way you think. You will never change and know God's will until you start getting into His Word. As you begin to put God's Word in your life on a daily basis, as you begin to think about and apply, guess what? It changes the way you think. You know how I know? It's changed the way I think, which leads to the way I live. You know, Baptists used to say, hey, let's get them in there and let's make them Baptists. Get them to talk like Baptists, dress like Baptists, walk like Baptists. And then after about 2 or 3 years of trying to live like that, they leave. You know why? The Bible never says to live like a Baptist. It says to live according to God's Word, to put that into your mind. You change people from the inside out, not the outside in. So allow God to change the way that you think. And then here's the cool thing about how you do find it. As you surrender, as you don't follow the world, as you allow God to change the way that you think, then you begin to find as you do. You say, what do you mean as you do? Well, as you do things to serve God, whether it's helping the church, whether it's teaching, you say, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, how do you know until you try teaching? What I'm saying is finding God's will a lot of time is by trying to do God's will and finding what He wants you to do. And it's not always that easy to fit. I can't tell you what you're supposed to do for God. But I do know God can tell you what you're supposed to do if you start getting into His Word and living for Him. So, do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you know what it is for your family? If you do, you get it. What you will find to be incredibly frustrating is if you try to live your life without any thought and throw a little Jesus in here and there when it's convenient. Now, it's His time, it's His life, it's His calendar for your life. The question is whether you allow Him to call the shots. You know, we're living during this time of restart. My prayer has been, God, will the church just wake up to what You want us to do? Lord knows we all have not done exactly as we should, including your pastor. Here's what I do know. He's given me a restart just like He's given you a restart. My prayer is that you'll walk differently as you leave this place today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your love. I thank You so much for Your Scripture. And I love this passage because it's very easy to understand. It's very hard to apply. But I pray we would be different. That we would look at this time in the history of our country, the world, of Mount Ida, and we'd say, hot dog, the virus has given us some awesome opportunities to share the good news. Help us to be wise. Help us to be concerned about how to do that. And help us to make a difference. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.